The masters are very busy on their own plane. They're busy doing a lot of work besides what we might visualize them doing. They have a lot of things on the plate. It's like us. We're in relation to the Christ and his associates like an animal is to us, kind of. We're different kingdoms. The kingdom of God is a kingdom higher than man, like humanity is higher than the animals. Now, suppose you have a dog at home. The dog waits for you to come home all day long. I mean, his whole desire is to see you walk through that door. Maybe you've gone to work all day long. And he's just sitting around all day waiting for you. For one thing, you're going to feed him. And he probably thinks you've been thinking of him all day long, too. He probably thinks he's just really on your mind all day. But he hasn't been on your mind at all. You've been out with your boss to dinner or to lunch or whatever, and you've had all kinds of problems at work. And you haven't even thought of your dog all day long. And your dog, you come home and through that door, and your dog just jumps on you. He's so happy to see you, right? And you think, oh, I almost forgot about that stupid dog. Man, I hope I gave him enough water here. I'd probably probably dying of thirst. I don't think I even put out water for him this morning. But your poor little dog there, he probably thinks you've been missing him as much as he's been missing you. And this is the way we think about God and Christ and the masters and the higher lives. We think they just sit around the table. Well, let me see. Joe Smoe, boy, let's keep an eye on him today. I mean, we don't have anything better to do. No, they got their own work. They're working in their higher spheres, and we're like little puppy dogs saying, could I have a little bit of attention? And they think, oh, man, I forgot all about Joe Smoe over here. Hope I left enough spiritual drink there tidying by it all. I have time to pay some attention to the poor guy. I mean, he thinks he's really got something going. Little does he know. It's kind of pathetic little effort he's making over there. And maybe they sit around and kind of joke about how silly we are. You know, but those humans, they think they're really accomplishing something. Man, if they could just become useful to us, it would be something, wouldn't it? I mean, if they could just tighten one bolt right, it would be really nice. You know, there they are expecting a big revelation, and they aren't ready for diddly squat. You know, we need to be more like the puppy dog we were talking about. I mean, one of the things that endears us to our dog when we come home, if you've got a dog, everyone's had a dog one time or another. You open that door, and that dog is just so happy to see you. I mean, he's thrilled, and you give him a bone or something, and he's just thrilled. I mean, he chomps away on that, and he's just as happy as could be. He's the most grateful animal you've ever seen in your life. And you think, oh, love that dog, you know? And why do you love him? Because he's so grateful. I mean, the dog is just so grateful for these little things that you give him that maybe just cost you a quarter or something. And he's just grateful as can be, and it endears you to him. And the higher lives that are working with us, if we can just be as grateful as a little puppy dog, maybe we get a little bit more attention, won't we? But how many of us maybe aren't grateful? Remember the story where Christ cured 10 different lepers, and they each went their own way, and one stopped and came back and told Jesus, thank you. And you remember what Jesus said to him? Says, where are the other nine? And then he said, you are healed, but these other nine, their illness will come back. So in other words, this one that came and gave his gratefulness to the Christ was healed. And so that is an important point. To be grateful for what we have, grateful for those that help us, grateful for those who serve us, and grateful for those that help us along our way in any way. My family, the other day, we had a mini family reunion here just before we were here, and Artie and I were the only ones that weren't solid in the Mormon church. My sister says, what do you want to accomplish anyway? And they realize I think a lot different than them. what they want to accomplish is be good members of the church, of course. And I says, well, I want it to be, I quoted Malachi to him. And I says, I want it to be said, after I'm gone, that I did something to make the world a better and a safer place. And one of the other family members says, well, I'll just leave that in the hands of the Lord. And I said, well, you can't leave it in the hands of the Lord, because if we were to left it in the hands of the Lord during World War II, Hitler would be our emperor right now, or whatever he would, dictator, or whatever it would be. And if he says, we are the hands of the Lord. He says, if somebody is hungry, you meet somebody hungry and starving or wounded at the side of the road, and you just say a prayer for them, you think God's going to come down and feed them? I says, no, you are the hands of the Lord. He says, you have to help that person. And when you help that person, God is helping them. They're going to give thanks to God that God helped them, but who really did it? You, as an instrument of God, were the ones that really helped the person. It wasn't because you prayed and God sent some angel to feed the guy. That's not the way it works. And I said the same thing here. I says, if we don't do something about these weapons of mass destruction that all the nations have pointed at each other, he says, it's only a matter of time before Malachi's destruction comes to pass, unless the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children and make the world a better place for the children, the earth will be totally destroyed. Could be totally destroyed. And if we were in danger of that, it's possible. Now, the prime directive of the powers that be in the hierarchy is a little bit like Star Trek, is non-interference unless it's absolutely essential. And if it come down to humanity being completely eliminated, they may interfere. You know, it may be karmically possible to do that without incurring negativity. It just depends on why we destroyed ourselves, probably. If powers that be even beyond our planetary system look down and say, looks like humanity deserves to destroy itself, then there'd be nothing they could do. But if there was enough of us in that state that were innocent, then it would be within the parameters of the spiritual hierarchy to take action to save humanity from total destruction. But I would give it about 75% chance that we can move in the new age without a major nuclear war, and let's all hope that that can happen. And it will happen if each one of us does our part. What we need to do is sense that responsibility. And this is why one of my favorite movies of all time is Oh God with John Denver. How many saw that movie? That depicted God probably a lot more accurately than any religion that I know teaches about him. And the fact that God is George Burns, appears as John Denver. And one of the questions John Denver asked, well, what are we doing? Are you going to kind of save the world now and eliminate hunger and poverty and war and all this? And George Burns says, no, he says, that's up to you. Up to us? He says, what do you mean up to us? We can't do anything. It's up to you. And no, he says, no, it's up to you. You know, if you want to make the world a better place, it's up to you. And John Denver was beside himself because he always thought it was up to God to do that. And it was a big revelation to him that it was our responsibility to do it. And I thought that was cute. And also presented a great truth. And I really liked it how John Denver was exasperated and surprised by that answer from George Burns, because that answer was actually true. It is up to us. And if we look all through history, there's periods where you can see divine influence, but nowhere does the hand of God come in and completely take over and do our work for us. It never does. God never does, or supernatural powers never does work for us that we can do for ourselves. There's only divine interference when we have done everything possible that we can do, and sometimes a little bit more than we think is possible. When we have done everything we can do, then there can be divine interference to help us. If we really need assistance and we've done everything possible, that is the time that the miraculous can occur from divine interference. But outside of that, we're expected to do all we can, and generally, there's not divine interference because all we can do is usually enough to get the job done. Getting back to World War II again, it was, from about 1939 to about 1942 was really iffy that we could win the war. I mean, it looked like everything was against us. But we did everything that we could. We finally got stirred. We did everything within our power. We didn't just sit around and pray. We didn't wait for angels to come fight Hitler. We decided to do everything in our power to defeat Nazism ourselves. And using everything in our power, we did it. And there might have been some divine influence along the way, but as it came, it was as we were doing everything that we could do. And that's the way it is in our lives. And so many people get frustrated because life is a little bit hard and they're mad at God because he's not doing anything to help them. Well, that's because you haven't done everything you can do yet. We have to do everything that we can do. All that God has is open to us. All we have to do is look for it. But you know, the big problem with many seekers is they don't always ask the right questions. The key to a true seeker is to ask the right question, because if you ask a question, you always get the answer eventually. So you must ask the right question and sustain that will to receive the answer. You know, when I first started reading the scriptures, I was about 16, and I read, "Ask and you shall receive." So I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to just ask for a whole bunch of stuff. So I asked for a whole bunch of stuff, and nothing came. And I thought, that's kind of strange. Well, why come it says ask and receive? And then I read another parable that inspired me. It was about this a lady that was entertaining guests that Jesus told about, and she ran out of bread, and it was midnight. And she thought, well, my neighbor has some bread, and I know I've got to wake him up, but it's inconvenient. But I really need this bread for my guests, so I'm going to go ask him. So she goes and pounds on the door, and the neighbor looks out the top window, and he says, go away. You know, I can't see, I'm trying to sleep, and I get out of here. But she kept pounding on the door, and she says, I need bread. And the guy kept trying to chase her away, and she wouldn't go away. And then Jesus says, and then the guy comes down and gives her some bread, not because he likes her, not because she deserves her, but because she just wouldn't quit asking. She wouldn't go away. So he came, and to make her go away, he gave her the bread. And then he says, even so, ask and you will receive. So in other words, become a pest to God. And he'll become such a pest that pretty soon he'll say, well, he's not going away, so I guess I better answer it. And that inspired me when I read that. So I become a pest to God and kept asking and asking and asking and asking. And then pretty soon things began to come. And I thought, hey, this works. You know, sometimes I found it took 30 years to get the answer, sometimes 6 months, sometimes instantly. But eventually I have found that everything that I really wanted to know, I eventually found out if I didn't give up and I kept asking. And that asking eventually takes you into the world of the intuition. In the world of the intuition, when it comes down to the mind, it produces a flash of light. And when the flash of light occurs, you get that what is called the aha moment. How many here have had what I call the aha moment, where you say, aha, I see it. Okay, most of you have. And that's a great moment to have. When all of a sudden something dawns on you that you've been wondering about for a long time, and sometimes you'll hit yourself on the head and say, man, how come I didn't see that earlier? When a person cries out to God or for help or seeks an answer, where does that prayer go to? Okay, this is the most commonly thought thing by people into metaphysics, it goes up to the higher self. Does it go anywhere else? Let's suppose the higher self is occupied, he's not paying that much attention. Where does it go then? Okay, well, one place it can go is to the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is like a great computer. And it can calculate a lot of things. And one thing people do is as you're going to sleep, you can give yourself suggestions. Or meditate on a problem as you're going to sleep. And your subconscious mind will take this problem and calculate answers for you. And when you wake up, you'll sometimes wake up with an answer. And that's not always from your higher self. Sometimes it'll just be your subconscious programming doing the calculating for you and presenting you with an answer. So that's one area of receiving an answer. Another area is your higher self. What are other possibilities? Okay, you're seeking an answer to something, and you're not completely in tune with your higher self, and your subconscious hasn't really given you a lot of good information from the dream state. Could it go somewhere else? What say?
Like dead loved ones or just people that might be around you that...
Right. It could go to a loved one, for example. Has anyone ever got impressions of dead loved ones in your dreams or maybe in the waking state? Mm-hmm. Right. And they still have links with us. So we can pick up from them also. Okay, who else? What?
Brotherhood of Light.
Right. Maybe a higher life, or maybe even a master, can pick up your thoughts. If energy follows thoughts, and if you're on your thoughts are high enough to tune into the wavelength of some type of more evolved life than yourself, he could actually pick it up and think, this guy is on to something. I think I'll maybe help him out, give him some impressions. And so this higher life may decide that, you're somebody he can work with. So he might send some impressions. He may actually pick up your prayer, help you out in the direction you want to go, provided your intent was good. The whole life of God is like a giant intelligence that just coordinates everything to make everything happen to progress as it should. As long as we're cooperating, we always have the power to throw a monkey wrench in things. We may be headed toward healing or something and then do something stupid, change our diet in the wrong way or do something we're not supposed to do and maybe interfere with it. But overall, there's a lot of synchronicity that happens. When I look at some of the things that happen in my life, I think, that had to have been designed somehow, but it's hard to imagine how the intelligence, no matter how great it is, designed that I met this person at exactly this time and this happened. What do the rest of you think? Have you had things happen in your life that you felt it was designed, but then you look back, you think, how could this have been planned to happen this way? The mind of God has to be a total genius to figure out how to make it all work. And so it's amazing how things do work. That like exactly how I met my wife Artie. I've been married 3 times, and I believe that I was supposed to meet and marry all three. And how that was engineered is just amazing when I look back upon it, because I know through the communion with my soul that I was supposed to meet all three of them. And it's interesting how the pieces just fell together to make that happen. Maybe all of us are just supposed to be here today at this time and place, and maybe our souls engineered this before we were even born. If they did, it's amazing to think of the intelligence behind it. So anyway, there's all kinds of intelligences that are available to help us. It's not always our soul. Our soul will help us if it sees us helping ourselves and doing everything that we can, but it doesn't want to enable us. This is one thing that all the higher lives, including our soul, do not want to do, because we learn through struggle and experience and trial and error and defeat. Just like if you want to be a good football player, you have to go through a lot of pain and suffering and trial and failure before you become really good at any sport or any great effort that you're participating in. And it's really hard to accomplish. And our souls and the higher lives realize this about us, so they don't want to enable us. This is why we get very frustrated, and it seems like help we receive is almost at random sometimes. Every once in a while, we get help that we know it's help, and we appreciate it, and then a little bit later on, it seems like we really need it. This is the powers that be came through last time, so they're definitely going to come through this time, and then they don't come through. And we think, oh, got to handle this completely on my own, darn. And it's frustrating, and it makes a lot of people lose faith sometimes. But we must remember the words of Paul. He talked about persevering whether it's in season or out of season. I like that word. In season and out of season, we must continue. So if it's in season, that means you're in a situation where you may be getting supernatural help. Your soul may be paying attention to you, and what you're doing may be important enough that it's giving you some messages, telling you, giving you a little guidance, paving the way for you, making life a little easier. And then there's other times it's out of season. And when you're out of season, it seems like there may not even be a God up there, because you think, boy, you think if the powers that be, you think they would want me to succeed at this time, but it seems like they're completely ignoring you. How about the rest of you? Is anybody here just get all the help he needs at any time he wants it? Raise your hand. Yeah, on the other hand, are there people here that when you really needed help, it came? Raise your hand. Okay, same error. Sometimes when you really need it, it comes. Other times when you feel you really need it, you feel like you're on your own. And I know I've felt this many times, and it's contemplating it. When you're on your own, you're on your own because that's an opportunity in life for you to learn. You learn through struggle. After all, how did these higher lives get the power to come down and help you? How did your soul or angel get the power to be able to assist you and others? How did it get that power? It got the power through going through the same things that you're going through. And if you don't get the opportunity to struggle, to persevere, to be left on your own, then you will not grow. Even Jesus, at the moment when he felt he needed the Father the most, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So even the greatest of all, when he felt he needed his Father the most, he felt forsaken. And this happens to us many times. We often feel forsaken. Some people call this a dark night of the soul. Dark night of the soul is kind of a phrase that's thrown about without a lot of knowledge as to what it is, but we all experienced some type of dark night, a cycle of it where it seems like we're abandoned. But the important thing to realize is that you're never abandoned. Your soul and the higher powers are ever watching. And there are people and higher intelligences aware of every crisis that you're undergoing. So if we want to get healed, the first thing we have to do, the most important key thing, is first of all, do everything in our power. Live up to the highest you know is the key. And do everything you can to take care of your health on the physical level. Because our soul expects us to always do everything we can to maintain our health or whatever goal we have. And the same applies with miracles of any kind. If you want a miracle in your life to help you that's not related to health, you first of all have to do everything you can on your own. Because that is against the laws of heaven to just come do something for you that you can do for yourself. And so if you say you want to succeed in a business and you say, oh, Lord, bring me more customers or bring me somebody that will finance me or whatever, and you're not doing everything you can to make it succeed, well, you're not going to get any supernatural help. You get supernatural help when you've done everything that you can. Now, how do you know if you've done everything you can? Well, some people say, well, I've done everything I can. Well, have you read any book on your problem? Do you know anything about it? Well, no, I followed everything my doctor told me. Well, that isn't enough. The doctors aren't very enlightened. We want to have that attitude of doing everything we can to help ourselves. If we're willing to do that, then you can have miracles happen in your life.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true and you'd like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com. That's freeread.com.